And let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving Father, we pray that you will speak into our hearts and minds the words that you are wanting to share with us this morning. And Lord, we pray that we might be attentive so that we can hear your voice speaking to us in our hearts and in our minds, so that we might go away having met with you today. And we ask this in your name. Amen. We're continuing our little walk through Proverbs, and we are going to be looking at Proverbs 16, which is the Old Testament reading we had this morning, but it won't be entirely based on that. In 1859, that was before even I was born, Charles Blondin, the French acrobat, walked across a tightrope suspended above the Niagara Falls. He then repeated the feat, wheeling a wheelbarrow, much to the applause of the hundreds, if not thousands, of people who were watching this daring exploit. And having successfully completed the walk of the wheelbarrow, he invited one of the press to sit in the barrow while he walked across again. The man declined the very kind invitation. But another person in the crowd had been so impressed with Blondin that he decided that he volunteered himself. He said, "Well, I'm very happy to sit in this wheelbarrow while you push it across the falls, because I really trust you." And into the wheelbarrow he stepped, and Blondin proceeded to walk across, pushing the wheelbarrow with the man in it. The man was holding on very tightly. He got to the middle, and a person in the crowd who'd placed a very heavy bet on Blondin failing cut one of the guy ropes so that the tightrope swayed frantically backwards and forwards, and Blondin struggled to keep his balance and keep the man in the wheelbarrow at the same time. And he managed very well, but he realised that he couldn't complete with the man in the barrow, that the wheelbarrow had to go. So he said to his passenger, "Let go of the barrow, stand up and grab my shoulders." The man was paralysed with fear and wouldn't let go. So Blondin again said to him, "Let go of the barrow, stand up, put your arms on my shoulders and put your legs around my waist. Do it or die." The man summoned up his courage, did as he was told, stood up, put his arms around Blondin's neck, stepped out of the barrow fell away to the waters below, put his legs around Blondin's waist, and Blondin, step by step, carried him across to safety on the other side. The man knew the meaning of fear in a very real way. The book of Proverbs, talking about fear, in the first chapter of Proverbs and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And in the section which we had today in Proverbs 16 and verse 6, it says, through fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. Through fear of the Lord. But the fear it is talking about is not the same fear or terror experienced by Blondin's passenger. 3 years ago, Brenda and I were on holiday in Dorset, and we were exploring the delights of Dorset, and so we had highlighted Durdle Door and Corfe Castle and Lulworth Cove and Piddlehinton. What? Piddlehinton, you say? What the hell is Piddlehinton? Piddlehinton is a village in Dorset. What's so great about Piddlehinton? Well, nothing really, except that Piddlehinton was the place where my former headmaster went as rector. He resigned as headmaster of a public school, obeying the call of God, was ordained and was appointed rector of Piddlehinton. And I wanted to go and see this place where he went. He was a remarkable character. He was a huge man, towering above most people. He had a slight stoop. He was a committed Christian, a strict disciplinarian, but very, very fair and just. And wherever he went, everyone stopped what they were doing to watch where he was going. Everyone, boys and masters, had a healthy fear of E.W. Davies. That is the kind of fear that Proverbs is talking about. It's a fear as total respect. And so what it's saying to us is, if you want to lead a healthy, fulfilled and fruitful life, the first thing you have to do is to look at your attitude. It was interesting, wasn't it, in the gospel reading we had this morning. That also was about attitude. Pharisee's attitude on one hand: thank you, Lord, that I am not like these other people, or indeed this tax collector who is here with me at the moment as well. I do this, that and the other. And the tax collector, who wouldn't even look up to heaven, and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said it was this one who went home justified. Attitude is vitally important. And Proverbs is saying to us, the first thing for a healthy life is total respect in the Lord God. Total respect. Because it's that starting point which then controls everything else that we do as Christians. It affects all of our relationships, family relationships, work relationships, relationships with neighbours, whatever it might be. It all stems from having the right attitude to the Lord. And one of the things it also affects are our motives. Verse 2 of chapter 16 of Proverbs says, All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. We are all very good at convincing ourselves that what we're doing for the right motives. Politicians do it all the time. Perhaps that's why people are somewhat disillusioned with politics. And so we convince ourselves that our motives are good. But Proverbs reminds us that God weighs our motives. You might remember the event in Daniel chapter 5. King Belshazzar, who is the son of Nebuchadnezzar, gave a great feast. And to help with the feast, he ordered that all of the golden vessels which had been captured and taken from the temple in Jerusalem by his father be brought out and used for the party, for his nobles and for his concubines, to have a great time, to celebrate all of their gods, and also to rub it in to see what a good and marvellous king he was and how powerful he was and what he could do. And as they had the party, you remember that on the wall, on the plaster, a hand and a finger wrote, "Mene, mene, tikal, parsin. I have numbered your days, and I've weighed you in the scales and found you light. And your kingdom will be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." It was one of the great moments. This great king had been weighed in the scales by God and found to be wanting. God weighs all of our motives. And if we have got a very good fear of the Lord, total respect, then that affects what we do and how we live out our lives. So often, we tend to wrest control from God and grab it back for ourselves. And when we do so, we're not showing respect. Why are we then so surprised that we find life so difficult? Verse 3 of chapter 16 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." It's about involving God in everything, so that we fall in line with what he wants to do. It's not that our plans are bad, but they're not God's plans, or indeed his timing. One of my colleagues, and in fact a former vicar, used to say, "I watch to see where the Holy Spirit is working, and then I go and join him." so often, as an individual, as a church, locally or nationally, we make the mistake of formulating our plans and then ask God to bless the results of our deliberations. It's not the right way to go. It's the wrong way. But if we have total respect for God, then he is foremost in our mind and we approach him first. Billy Graham used to say that the last thing to be converted is a man's pocket. I think there's a really deep truth in that. And it's telling, isn't it? When it comes to our possessions, they are our possessions. On a good day, we might ask God to guide us on how to use our possessions. And so we have a conversation when it comes to money on how much we should give, something like, how much of my money should I give, Lord? Whereas what it should be is, how much of your money, Lord, should I keep? God should be put first. It's his world, not our world. It's his goods, his possessions, not our possessions. We are stewarding them. And it comes back to respect, which is why Proverbs emphasizes that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. A total respect for whom we are serving. And from that respect flows all the other qualities. It's why in that same passage there's a condemnation of the proud. And it's not just in Proverbs that that occurs, but throughout the Bible that happens. And it happens for a good reason. If one is proud, then one is ignoring God, and he can't get in to change things. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. A healthy fear, not in the sense of terror, but a realization of whom we are dealing with and the one who loves us and cares for us and wants the best for us. Let's pray. Lord, we are sorry for the times when we have not acknowledged you as we should in a whole variety of ways in our lives. Please forgive us those occasions, and please help us to have a better understanding and relationship with you. An understanding of your majesty, of your power, and your love. And then help us to show that in our lives and in our dealings with others. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.